Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lovely listeners, how would you like to be in a room with me, Lucy Porter?
And me, Jenny Ryan, and each other, basically. I'd
a whole
like that.
Bunch of people. I'd love it. I'm so excited about seeing people again. And we are doing a live event as Woo! Part of the London Podcast Festival on Saturday, the 11th of September, 2021 at 9:30 p.m.
And it's at King's Place, which is a wonderful venue. And it's very close to King's Cross and St. Pancras stations in London town.
London's glamorous, not the West End. London's north glamorous bit. North-ish bit. Yay. And if you would like tickets, you can go to kingsplace.co.uk and we'll see you all there.
Yay.
Whoop, whoop. What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome to...
Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, you went Dutch then.
I did. I was trying to be a bit Eurovision.
Oh, nice.
Because, you know, we often talk about Eurovision. And this week... We are going to be talking...
But we're not live from Amsterdam, although I'd love that.
Oh, one day soon.
Later in the series, we'll be live from Amsterdam. Oh. Amsterdam.
But we may talk a little bit about Eurovision just because we're going to talk about Ken Bruce, because you did something...
Sir Kenneth.
...that I'm so jealous of recently.
I can't believe they didn't ask you first.
Well, you know, I'm bitter, but anyway, it's fine. We're going to be talking about your Popmaster experiences. And we are also going to be talking to
Gavin Riley.
Lovely Gavin Riley, who is so brilliant and so funny. You're going to really enjoy that interview.
Our Irish listeners will be very familiar with Gavin. And then after this, everybody who's not Irish is going to flock to his Twitter and catch up with clips. We're going to post a great clip of him, actually.
We are. And also, yeah, just he is going to be the next great quiz show host. He's the Henry Kelly de Nozur, I would say.
Oh, that's a strong endorsement, but I can't fault it.
I agree with it, because I said it. And...
I like that you back yourself on everything.
I'm the only person who does, but I really do back myself. And we've got a listener quiz.
We don't know who it's from, though.
It's a mystery listener quiz from an anonymous donor. So thank you very much for that. And that is all coming up on Fingers on Buzzers. So, Jenny, I need to talk to you about Popmaster because, you know, as you know, it's my favourite thing in the entire world, and you are my favourite person in the entire world, apart from, well, Amanda and Ken Bruce. I mean, you're all joint.
It's a great shot, this.
In my top five, there's you, Amanda, Ken Bruce.
Your kids.
I'm ahead of the kids. Don't worry about that.
No, obviously, they were a given, but my husband is vying for position amongst the top five. So now, please tell us everything. So it was the all-day Popmaster.
All-day bank holiday Popmaster, yep. Which it is now a tradition. That yep. This is the second year they've done bank holiday end of May Popmaster. Usually the treat is just, it's quite brief. It's 10:30 a.m. on a weekday. Mm-hmm. You get two contestants facing off in a pop quiz.
Yep.
But this year they had celebrities from quiz environs.
And what celebrities they were.
Versus members of the public. Mm-hmm. So from The Chase, the two representatives, myself and Sean Wallace. Yep. We had Richard Osman.
Yeah.
Zoe Lyons.
Yeah. All friends of the show.
Oh. Well, friends of the show are people we would love to have on the show at a future date. Wink, wink. There was, of course, Rick Edwards,
who is definite friend of the show. Absolutely a friend of the show, and we love him.
He did the first shift. Ooh. So it started 7:30 a.m.
Wow.
Was once an hour on the half hour through the day. So I was lucky that I got 9:30 a.m.
Yep.
It was a bit of a slog, I will tell you that. And I was an hour early. It used to be having Popmaster 10:30 a.m.
Yes.
So you've had chance, you've surfaced, you've had your coffee, you've woken up properly. And
it's perfect for your circadian rhythms, isn't it?
Oh, it's very much so, very much so. Even to the extent that when I've been on the Greek Geek Week holiday, our morning routine revolves, even though it's an hour ahead, around Popmaster.
For those uninitiated, this is where the quiz leagues and the big quizzes go every year.
We go to Rhodes and we spend a week in the same resort, which generally has a function room where we can have quizzes and lovely restaurants nearby. But we will generally only start to congregate as a group at 11:30 a.m. as it is in Greece at that time for Popmaster by the pool. Someone brings a speaker, we all play Popmaster by the pool. This is no
hopefully a
joke.
Bluetooth speaker that has been won on Popmaster.
It wasn't last time I went, but who knows, because I did win a Bluetooth speaker.
Yes.
Because I got 3 in 10.
No, you can do it.
Yeah. I had to do a heat against a member of the public, a lovely guy called Nigel. Mm-hmm. We got exactly the same score because I was still half asleep.
Oh.
In my defence, I'd been to a drag brunch the day before.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of a hangover involved. And we went to one of the longest tie breaks that Ken has ever been involved in. You could almost hear him getting fed up with the pair of us.
There's been a lot of tie breaks recently, but they've all been sort of one question tie breaks, basically. Yeah. But yeah.
This was half a dozen pairs. This went on.
Yeah.
Clearly, we were a good match. So, I mean, fair play to the producers.
They do select the best of the best for this, right?
This was very good. Mm. So, I was slightly disappointed only to get 21 in my round. Mm. But seeing as my opponent got 21 and I thought I'd picked a really good...
What was your bonus?
It was called Telephone Line. So usually when there's a cryptic kind of thing, you're thinking of songs with telephone in or telephone numbers.
Hang on the telephone.
All that sort of stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, there was a couple of very obscure songs that I'd never heard before in my life. So that's just the way it goes, isn't it? Mercifully, I managed to win the tiebreak. And I had to wait for the rest of the day until to find out who was going to make it through. The top four scorers of the 8 rounds were going to get through to the quarterfinals.
Yep.
And 3 different players ended up on 26. Sean did very, very well. So you had your score and then you could get an extra 5 points for 3 in 10.
Okay.
They were quite friendly 3 in 10s. I got Coldplay, which is quite a friendly 3 in 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I ended up on 26, as did two other people. And they rang me up with a tiebreaker question, which was, unfortunately, as tiebreakers tend to be, it was maths-based.
Okay.
And I'm not good with mental arithmetic under pressure, as viewers of The Chase know only too well. And I messed up the tiebreaker. Aww. And I thought, well, that's me done now. And they rang me up about an hour later and said, you're not going to believe this. One of the other players in the tiebreak has given exactly the same answer as you. And I thought, how can that be possible? Because it was a really terrible answer. And I knew that I'd given exactly half the answer I should have done.
Oh, okay.
So they asked me another question, which was even tougher. So yeah. I guessed that one and I managed to guess my way through to the fourth spot in the semi-finals. So I was facing off against the one remaining member of the public, who's Karen.
Oh,
who's
Karen.
Absolutely lovely. She'd obviously done much better on me on that first tiebreak.
Well done, Karen.
And as the questions got harder, somehow I got better. And I beat her cleanly on that one and got through to the final, expecting to face Sean Wallace, who'd done very well in his heat. He got beat by Jeremy Vine in his semi-final.
No.
So it's me versus Vine. So it was literally Chase versus Eggheads in the final. And he went first. And
now, was there anything about early Elvis Costello? Because, I mean, that is clearly his
speciality. No Costello.
No.
Zero Costello. No. And I will be honest, I think I was benefited by the fact that I went second in that semi-final because I knew the target he'd set me was 11. Because he was also given an odd point there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's multiples of three usually. Yes. So he was benefited by some generous scoring from Ken.
Ken is lovely. And, I mean,
his quiz. He can do what he wants.
Yeah, doubly lovely on a bank holiday.
So I knew if I picked the right bonus category, which are worth double, they're worth 6 points each. Yeah. I just needed to get two of those and I'd beaten him. And I knew that there was something about eyes, it beginning with I, E-Y-E. And so I thought, well, one of these has to be about the Simon Park Orchestra, eye level.
Oh, gosh, yes.
So it's the quiz temperament and you're already thinking what's going to come up next.
Yeah, great.
What comes up as my second bonus question? I got the first two questions right, eye level, which meant that I'd won. So I convincingly beat Jeremy in the end.
Wow.
But I was lucky to get even to the semi-final. Wow. And so now I'm waiting for my trophy to be delivered.
Ooh. I hope Ken comes around with it personally.
Can you imagine? I want to go and pick it up.
Yeah. Well, let's go. Let's see if we can go in.
Let's just go and mob handed.
I'm obsessed.
To Wogan House.
Obsessed with it. I mean, you know, I just love it so much. And every day it makes my day a little bit better.
He's so lovely. He's just the warm heart. Of Radio 2, isn't he?
He is. And I mean, you know, we have eulogised about Potmaster before, but we will say it again. It truly is one of the pillars of British quizzing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so neat and it's so regular. And whilst being really niche, you have to be very good at all pop music to get through it. But everybody still listens to it and it's still got this very neat, tight formula. And it's got Ken in charge, and it's Ken's. With all due respect to Gary Davis, who subs in sometimes.
He's good. Gary Davis is good now. Listen, I mean, we're not criticising Gary Davis. He is good.
But
Zoe Ball
Ken.
Has done it. She's done her best. And, you know, Michael, but all the Balls have done it. All of them.
Kenny Ball
and his jazz men have done it. Johnny Ball's thought of a number between 0 and 30, generally. It's good, but Ken is the master, yeah.
Really?
The pop master. Ken's the master of pop master. And we salute you, Ken. And...
Please come on the show.
Congratulations, Jenny, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud.
I can't believe I've won something.
Yay!
It's, you know, it sounds really, really sad that I win all the time at work, but I'm expected to win. But yes. Something I don't expect myself to win.
Yeah.
And to end up with a little prize at the end of a little trophy I can put on my shelf. Yeah. It is so rewarding, especially something that I know means so much to a lot of my friends.
Yes, especially me. I'm not bitter. Thank you. Anyway, well done. Well
next
done.
Year, Lucy. I know.
Do you know what? I'm not bitter.
No pressure.
I'm actually so delighted for you. So if any of you have been on Potmaster, then do get in touch because we would love to talk to you. Now, you are about to hear an interview with an absolute gem. This is Gavin Riley, who is an Irish journalist of great repute, has huge amounts of followers on Twitter.
Say, the term broadcaster is the one that I would use. Broadcaster.
Yes.
That's if anybody gets that sobriquet.
Yeah.
It's Gavin Riley.
He's across the spectrum of television, radio, print. He does everything. He's even a published author. He's also a thoroughly decent chap. And we are going to chat to him about his love of quizzing.
We are one side of the Irish Sea and our guest is the other. We are joined by the wonderful Gavin Riley. Hello, Gavin.
Hi, Jenny. How are you? Hi, Lucy. Everything's...
Yeah, we're good. We're very good. So Gavin, as many of you will know, is the political editor at Virgin Media News and a TV journalist, a radio host, an author, and also, as we have recently discovered, an expert in two things.
Only two things. That is the sum total of the things that I can claim to be good at. Just literally two things.
Obviously, you know a lot about politics, you know a lot about Irish politics, about British politics, about world politics, but you also know a lot about Manchester United and the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, one of which is a slightly more sort of burning childhood obsession than the other. Manchester United was the first love, and then the Rubik's Cube was because I got sent to boarding school when I was 12. Now, it wasn't like the Enid Blyton sort of 7 days a week, you're away until Christmas kind of a boarding school. You were only away for five nights a week and you came home again at weekends. But it meant that you spent a lot of evenings in study halls with not a huge amount to do, and there was only so much reading material that you ever had in front of you. And so it just became one of those things that you end up spending so much time looking at that eventually something just develops in through osmosis and you begin to crack the whole thing. So yeah, Rubik's Cubes and Manchester United.
And the reason we know this is because we have a clip which we will post to our Twitter. It's from an Irish TV show, which you will give us the name of now.
Yes, it's called The 6 o'clock Show, which is on my very own channel of Virgin Media One, which is sort of similar to The One Show, that kind of like daily magazine sort of thing. And I was on that 2 years ago plugging a book. And much like you've revealed to me just before we started recording, they decided that they would launch an entirely unheralded and unforeseen and unwarned trivia challenge on me, where they basically decided that they would make me do the Rubik's Cube while answering questions about the Manchester United treble winning season of 98-99. And that was nerve-wracking. Obviously, for several reasons. One, because you don't want to make a fool of yourself not being able to solve the cube. Two, because you don't want to make a fool of yourself not answering the questions correctly. But three, because it's the station that I work on, and I know that they've planned this thing and they've got up their sleeves. The most petrifying thing is that something goes wrong and you find yourself then, instead of like taking, you know, a minute or a minute and a half to solve the cube, that you're just there for like 4 or 5 or 6 minutes trying to get it done. And they've run out of questions about Man United and they're like the backing music has run out and you've just made terrible, terrible television. And it's a terrible responsibility to have borne on you. So I'm delighted that this is pre-recorded because if it's naff, you can just edit it out again.
But you did so well. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, you say, oh, you were worried they were going to run out of questions. They absolutely didn't. You solved that Rubik's Cube well before they'd run out of questions.
It wasn't well before. They told me afterwards that they literally only had one or two left because they thought that I was some sort of weird like super genius who could do it in 20 seconds and they hadn't anticipated that it might take a minute or two.
It's an incredibly tense piece of television though, because Rubik's Cubes have always been something that baffle me. And now that there's a technique, and obviously someone like yourself who's practiced over and again, it's, oh, there's a system to it. I was going, you're making it worse.
My favorite thing about the whole clip actually is that if people watch it back and whenever you've tweeted it, whenever you put it up, you can see the female host of the show, Grania, just after I finished it, she sort of looks at me with like her general gesture is one of, wow, that's really impressive, congratulations. But just the way that her eyes are sort of looking at me with a kind of a suspicious glare, that she's sort of like, she's doing the whole showbiz thing of, wow, that was incredible. But like her eye language is very much like, you are weird. That is a really, really unnerving thing to do on television. It's probably my favourite thing of the whole clip.
For lockdown, one of my little things to tick off, because I knew I wasn't going to learn a language or, you know, learn to play an instrument, but I thought, well, maybe I could learn how to do a Rubik's Cube, because I've often dreamed of being like you, Gavin. And I...
Not literally, I hope.
Well, I mean, in so many ways, you know, well-informed in politics and all sorts of things, but the only way I could reach you is I will be able to do a Rubik's Cube, and I can now do the top layer. And that is
That's a start. Everyone's got to start with the top layer. Yeah, and then, because I think the mistake everyone thinks is that they think of it in sides. So you think of doing one side and then you do another side. And then they get stuck because they go, well, if I've already got two sides done now, I can't do anything else without breaking up what I've gone.
Yes.
The trick is not to think of it as sides, but to think of it as layers. So you do one side, then put that one facing down and then worry about the rest. And actually, it's a little easier to do if you get over that mental block first.
Well, there you go. You see, a Rubik's Cube tips as
expert
well as
tips.
And we will be doing your Rubik's Cube quiz very shortly. But before that, I also wanted to talk about the fact that you have said that one of your dreams as a youngster was to be the host of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
And yeah, that's really embarrassing. I don't think I've ever said that to anyone else. But it's funny because I never, like, when I was growing up, I never aspired to be a journalist or to cover current affairs or politics. It's just one of those things that you suddenly discover that you've got an affection for and that you kind of fall into it. And I'd never expected to work in broadcasting either. And I, you know, I was very mathematical at school and I studied business in college. And that's the area that I thought I wanted to get into. So it's weird that I've ended up in the line of work that I'm in, but especially that I work in TV, considering that it was an entirely inexplicable and in no way achievable goal. That we were just massive fans of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in our house growing up. And I just always thought it would be the coolest thing not to go on. Like, amazingly, everyone would aspire to go on and to answer 15 trivia questions and to become a millionaire and get the cash and go, brilliant, right, that's my life's work done. You know, my ambition was to go on and be the Chris Tarrant and, like, hand somebody a check and then dramatically swipe it back and tear it up and say, we don't want to give you that. And but I always feel like I've been slightly screwed over, because I'm also of a generation of people in Ireland who every single, like, the big TV quiz that people might like to do either as teenagers or then as adults has always ended just before I've become of the age where you might be able to enter it. So there was a great secondary school or high school quiz in Ireland called Blackboard Jungle, which was for secondary school teams. My brother-in-law was actually on it once, but the main prize that you got to win if you won on behalf of your school was a minibus.
I've read a story there because Neil Delamere, with whom you will be familiar,
yes,
I'm sure,
yeah,
has been on our podcast. And they, now, did they win the minibus? I can't even remember.
He wasn't even that clear, but they didn't, the school didn't want the minibus, is the thing.
Oh, they wanted just the cash equivalent.
If they won it, they were going to flog it immediately.
Like, I do remember thinking that it must have been a very underwhelming prize if you were a member of the team and you just won, like, a very long running, like, secondary school version of University Challenge in Ireland, and you've just overcome this incredible slog and beaten all these other dozens of teams from around the country. And what is your personal prize? Literally just the satisfaction of knowing that you've bailed out an underfunded secondary school. Like, there's nothing gratifying to that at all. Yeah, they put a little plaque saying that if you were cool, you'd be sitting in this, but because you were on a TV quiz, you're probably not cool enough to be in the back row. So that got cancelled a couple of years before I was old enough to be on it. Then they replaced it with another really weird, abstract, sort of a chess meets Chinese checker style thing called Gridlock, which I think they cancelled because not enough people understood the format, even though there was, like, a generation of people my age who really understood the format and were desperate to be on the show. They cancelled that. There was an Irish equivalent of University Challenge called Challenging Times. That got cancelled. Even my own station that I work on, we're the rights holder, I think, for a celebrity version of Mastermind. And we've only ever run celebrity versions. But then when it came around to doing a full, like, civilians write in and enter if you'd like, got cancelled as well. We are the broadcasters in Ireland of The Chase, which means that everyone at my work gets to see Jenny and her colleagues after lunch for a couple of hours every day, just sitting around at the canteen. It has one other thing, actually, which is great about The Chase, irrespective of the game theory bit and the kind of dynamic of being part of a team but kind of only being out for yourself. One, like, really hidden, like, TV making gem of that whole format is that right until the very final chase, you can watch the whole show in a crowded place, like a work canteen, with the TV on mute, and still be able to understand everything. Like, it's the perfect common room or waiting room format, because you can all be sitting around and you can still have your chat. You don't need the TV blaring over your ears, but you can still look over and just go, oh, I don't think it's Sagittarius. You know, and you can just kind of have that common moment. Like it's a real understated like gem of genius in that program.
Well, I wonder if that is, I mean, obviously the chase is huge and getting bigger and bigger all the time. And I wonder if in the age of social media, whether that helps as well, because if you watch a clip of the chase on your phone on the bus or whatever, then you can, you know, it's ready there. It's not even, you know, need to be subtitled. It's just like, yeah.
The you see lots of people meme the actual questions that are quite funny now. So it only needs to be the screenshot of someone else with really daft.
You don't need someone to put the caption of Bradley breaking out in giggles during Fanny Schneider.
We know what's going on.
And also the thing I love as well is they always do, they put the contestants in an interesting order, which I think the chase never gets credit for this, of like the other day they had someone called Wendy and someone called Richard. They put Wendy Richard, you know. Beautiful. It's those little touches. You're absolutely right, Gavin. It's that. Now, listen, obviously, we would love you to host Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or anything, because Irish hosts have been enduringly popular both sides of the Irish Sea. So we have on our programme had Henry Kelly, who...
Henry Kelly is a genuine... bona fide legend, actually, and I've always, because that's genuinely one of my earliest memories, going to my grandparents after school, is like watching Going for Gold like every lunchtime and being often baffled, and like, you know, decades later I don't think I've ever got an answer as to where all these foreign contestants came from, when it never appeared that the show was broadcast in any other country. That like this is just a thing that's on, you know, before or after Home and Away every lunchtime. It's just there, it's the news, and then it's like it's Holby City or Casualty or whatever it is, and Going for Gold. But like, it's not as if, you know, this is broadcast in Spain and in Germany and Belgium, and then where are they getting all the contestants?
It's like a huge joke probably against the British.
Might it have been like a really elaborate sort of like a Harry Enfield like sketch, or like something like Paul Whitehouse, where it's just national caricatures? Like, I always remember one famous line, and I think Henry tells the story as well, of after one of the first series was won by a contestant from Belgium, and he turns around deadpan and looks at Henry and says, does this make me a famous Belgian? Like, there's no way that like an actual bona fide Belgian person knows that stereotype. Like, I mean, it has to have been like just somebody, just as like a pub prank, as a kind of a Belgian by numbers kind of a joke. I've never understood that.
And, well, of course, Terry Wogan, Blankety Blank, Game Show World. Is there a show that you've got your eyes on now? Is there a format that you think you'd quite like to...
Well, it's probably still Millionaire, but actually I do think that there's probably still an appetite for an Irish version of University Challenge, because we haven't had one in a couple of decades. And I remember that was another thing that when I was of university age had disappeared just a couple of years beforehand, infuriatingly. So like we haven't had anything like that. But I think that there's enough kind of mischief in Irish universities where you can have the mix between, you know, people who are just like breathtakingly, like how do you sponge up that much trivia intelligence, and people who just have that little bit of sort of wit and charm as well, that I think that it would be a really nice format to bring back. And if we were doing it, I'd love to be at the helm of that one.
Yeah, lovely. Well, let's make that happen. Now, listen, I know you have to go and do news. Any minute
news.
Now.
I have to cover a very, very important parliamentary by-election in the constituency of Dublin Bay South, which will mean nothing to any of your good listeners.
Well, I hope you win it. So just before you go, do you have time for a quick Rubik's Cube quiz?
I do, in case I'm good at it, and if I'm bad, then I say I'm afraid I don't, and you can edit it out. Yeah. And just edit whichever one is more hospitable to me.
Yeah. The Zoom's gone funny, right? So while I do this quiz, Jenny is going to shout the names of Man United players to distract you. So question number one: what kind of puzzle?
Kenny Sheringham.
The Rubik's Magic. Is it a sliding puzzle or a folding puzzle?
The Rubik's Magic is the sort of the folding one. It's the sort of snake shape.
Yes, correct. Very good. It's a folding puzzle. That's correct. Question number two. How many little blocks make up the Rubik's Cube?
21. Or is it 20?
No, you had it right. You were saying the right number, and then you
because there should be 26, but it's 20. No, it's 21. It is 21,
26,
isn't it? 26. But see, the six middle pieces are all stuck together.
Oh, I tell you, we'll have a stewards in theatre on that one then.
Yeah.
In which movie does Will Smith's character solve a Rubik's Cube?
That's The Pursuit of Happiness.
Yes!
Oh! I've come out really surprisingly well from this.
So now you've proved that you're not only a specialist in Man United, but also in the Rubik's Cube. I'm just going to have a... I'm just going to check if you've got a second, your... answer just so we
yeah can because I think that there's 26 kind of faces, but the six middle ones you can't move them, so they're all literally stuck together, so there's only 21 pieces.
That seems fair.
Do you know what it's I mean, obviously what I did was very lazy, just googled it, but actually it does, it's 26 smaller cubes, but you're absolutely right. Really, I
can't believe you were misinformed by the internet.
Well, I mean, do you know what, you've taught me a valuable lesson there. Never trust the internet. It's been an absolute delight and a joy to talk to you, Gavin. And, you know, we will look forward to you hosting the Irish University Challenge reboot.
This has been a real pleasure, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now it is time for the listener quiz. It's the listener quiz, guys. And
we got Gregorian chanting.
Oh God! So I mean, that depressed even me. So the listener quiz is today sent in by an anonymous contributor.
Donor.
Yes, very much like a Tory party donation. We have no idea where it came from.
I hope not. But it bought my wallpaper.
So if you do want to contribute a quiz, then...
Or some wallpaper.
Or just some money. Yeah, you can do that completely anonymously, as this person has. So this quiz, anything you can tell us about it, Amanda? Or is it just a mystery from start to finish?
Yeah, I don't want to give too much away because it's pop trivia. But
lovely.
Each question has different parts to it. So we have 5 questions.
Yep.
But each of them have different parts.
We should work as a team this week.
We've
already done that so far this series.
Yes, it's
gone
well.
Team.
We've not come to blows, which has been an absolute delight, because normally we're bruised by the end of it.
Yeah, we'll save that for the last episode. Live. We'll do that live.
Yeah, live wrestling.
Getting held back.
Yeah. Jelly wrestling, that'll be
with a quizzing theme
jelly
to it.
Quizzing.
Yeah, jelly quizzing. Right, well, none of that today. So so question number
trivia
one.
A trifle.
Don't, that sounds absolutely delicious.
With cakey dance off.
Yes.
There's a theme.
Trifle.
There's a theme going off. Yeah. So question one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go through different eras here. So first of all, who had the first number one of the 80s?
Ooh, okay.
But Christmas number one in 1979 was, I think it was Another Brick in the Wall, Pink Floyd.
Yes.
So probably that.
Great. So that's your answer. Write that down. B, unsurprisingly, the 90s. So who had the first number one of the 90s?
I think this has come up for me recently.
Go on. No.
There was another Band-Aid, wasn't there?
Yes, Band-Aid 2.
Band-Aid 2, Do They Know It's Christmas? Yep. I think it's Band-Aid. I think that was 89, wasn't it? 18. Yeah, it would have been 5 years later.
Which iteration of Band-Aid? So was that Band-Aid the one 2. That was...
Bono was still involved, but he always was.
Yeah, okay, fine. You know, Band-Aid 2, that's fine.
Was
yeah.
Sonia involved in that? I hope she was.
I feel she should have been.
And C is the 2000s. So
okay, this again is should be my wheelhouse. I feel like it might be.
It's not my wheelhouse at all.
I want to say Westlife so badly.
Yeah, I'd abandoned the wheelhouse by this point.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go.
Let's go for Westlife.
There you go.
Just right. Based on my knowledge of like Christmas or Christmas adjacent.
Yes.
Ones.
Yeah.
So we'll do those answers first because that was just a three-parter, and okay. you got a full house there.
Hey!
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 80s Pink Floyd, 90s Band-Aid 2. I strongly suspect Sonia and Kylie and Jason were all there.
It was definitely yes. Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Yes, very right. much so. And yeah, 2000s Westlife.
Flying Without Wings, Seasons in the Sun.
I Have a Dream.
I Have a
yeah,
Dream.
Slash Seasons in the Sun.
Yeah, yeah,
very good.
I had a feeling it was a double A side.
Yeah, well, very good.
Of covers.
So there's another part to this question.
Oh.
So, okay, I'm going to read out some very well-known songs, but they were kept off the number one spot by another artist. Okay. So when I say the artist, you have to say okay. who kept them off the number one okay. spot. So who kept Wonderwall by Oasis off the number one slot?
Oh. That would have been about 94.
Yeah, I reckon. And would it have been the Spice Girls?
Oh, that's a good shout, though.
I think...
That's a good shout.
Well, what were or the Christmas take that. Number ones?
That wasn't around Christmas, I don't think it was. That
no.
was a different time.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to go for a big sort of boy or girl band. I'll go for Spice Girls, why
Spice
not?
Girls?
Spice Girls.
Write it down.
Ooh,
we'll find
right,
out.
Okay.
We'll find it in a moment, because I've got the next one here. Who kept lovely Natalie Imbruglia torn off number one?
Ooh.
A song I've been very recently, as in today, been reacquainted with, and I've actually been playing it on a loop.
Oh, I love
there
it.
Yeah, no, great song, yeah. isn't it?
It's a cover version, you know.
Yes, yes.
Swedish
yes.
song, wasn't it? Yeah.
No.
That would be about 1997-ish.
I think it's a bit early. Well, I tell you what. She had sort of combat pants. It was that sort of All Saints
time.
Only because I remember I wanted to look exactly like she did.
In that video, though.
And I wanted combat pants and a sort of slightly sort of under-shaved
yeah,
kind of weird
that long
haircut.
Fringe but short in the back, party
yeah,
in the front.
Yeah, yeah, party in the front
in the
and military in the back, really.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've really got no idea. It's going to be something like Mr. Blobby or, you know, it's one of those, isn't it?
Yeah.
All of these are going to be, oh, my God, can you believe Oasis were kept off number one by the Spice Girls? Can you believe that Natalie Imbruglia's Lovely Torn was kept off number one by Bob the Builder?
Bob the Builder. Now we're talking.
Yeah,
let's go Bob the Builder.
Like
why not?
Yeah. Because I didn't want to look like him, but I probably looked more like him than I looked like Natalie Imbruglia, to be honest.
Very much like Pilchard the Cat.
And so the final question this round. I didn't know that All I Want for Christmas by Mariah Carey didn't reach number one, but
really?
It didn't. And somebody kept her off the number one spot. Who was that?
Now, would that have been around the time of like Candle in the Wind or something like epic?
It was earlier like than that.
Was it?
Also, the clue is at Christmas. The clue is Christmas
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah, whereas Diana
so
died in August, so it wasn't that.
Yeah. I think it was around 1994.
Oh gosh, that early! Wow.
I think it was 1994 was when All I Want for Christmas Is You came out.
Okay.
Which would be what was Christmas at number one?
Again,
in
I'm going to say Spice Girls because it just all feels Spice Girls. All I remember is the Spice Girls. Blue.
Christmas 94. I really should know.
Five.
No.
I literally, I'd sort of, I was having too much fun to pay attention to the
yeah.
charts at that point.
Whereas I was a miserable teenager.
Yeah, you were having no fun at all. So
no, I wasn't even a teenager then. I was.
Oh, all right, Jenny.
I was a miserable preteen.
A tween, a miserable tween. Yeah, I was having a great time.
This is before I properly got into music. So 1994.
I just left God, university.
What was the Christmas award?
I mean, that's so frustrating. Can you do us a mime?
Right. Let me try. No. What am I doing?
Yeah, tap thumping.
I'm
banging the drum, waving some sticks in the air.
What happens at Christmas when people do that? They might do
bell
this.
Bell ringing.
Yeah. It features in the video. This doesn't help you much. They had furry hoods.
Christmas Day. A17. Yeah, of course. How could I not know that? I was a huge fan of theirs at the time. Massive
Christmas number ones. Okay.
Shocking.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right.
We've done badly there. I know we have.
Well, you got that last one right. I think it was pretty much thanks to my bell ringing skills. Yeah. But yeah, Mariah Carey and E17 lived in the same universe, which to me is... you know, unfathomable, but yay. Yeah. So they kept Mariah Carey off the top spot. Torn by Nasty and Brulia was kept off of number one by Aqua Barbie Girl.
Well, I mean,
okay, yeah.
There's not much between those two songs for me.
Right. But oh, it's controversial.
Utter bangers.
Yeah, very excellent.
That's right. And you are going to kick yourselves with this. It was Robson and Jerome with I Believe, which meant that Oasis never reached the number one spot with Wonderwall.
Robson and Jerome, they swept all before them, didn't they? And now...
They really did. And you know what? As a seasoned fan of Blur... good on them.
100% agree.
Yeah.
So here's another little question here. Tom Jones hit number one with Green Green Grass of Home in the 1960s. Ned. How long was it until his next number one?
Now, yes. His next, ages. His next one, Sex Bomb or something. Yeah,
which would
have been
1997 or 8. 1998.
What were the other sort of...
Kiss he did in
Kiss,
the early
80s.
But I don't think that got... Did that get to number one?
I think it might have done. I don't know. Well, say Kiss or Sex Bomb?
I want to say Sex Bomb.
I wish it was Sex Bomb, because that's a tune, but it was 42 years later with the charity single Barry, Islands in the Stream.
No.
Wow.
So Sex Bomb
didn't get... to number one?
No. What?
What a missed opportunity.
This is why pop music dies.
Well, probably Robson and Jerome were probably at number one, let's face it.
Yeah, exactly. They did so much damage. Them or Jimmy Nail.
Next question. Mm-hmm. Which artist had the top three number of number ones since the chart began in 1952?
So three people who had the most number ones.
Since it all began.
Beatles, right? Surely.
You must.
Beatles had a ton.
Aren't there surprising ones? And I never know if it's just because it's girl bands, but like the Supremes and Bananarama.
Spice Girls, I think their first... At least five singles went straight to number one.
But then they had a fairly short career, didn't they? So you sort of think, well, there might be people who've had more... I don't know. They've had...
Beatles has to be there.
Has to be the Beatles, surely. Elvis, I mean...
He's had a few, but they're kind of scattered, aren't they, as well?
The Rolling Stones.
No, very, very little single success for the Rolling Stones.
The Bee Gees. I'm just trying to think of who would be sort of consistently number one.
But I mean, Elvis has got to be up there because he's had a good few. He had these hits back there.
Yeah.
Then he had like A Little Less Conversation. A lot of his songs when he was reissued for the number one album.
You know,
in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Did all right. So, I mean,
So I think I'm going to give you a clue. You were right with two of those. You've suggested two acts that are right.
Okay.
Beatles and Elvis.
Beatles and Elvis.
Yeah, sure. So you just need... And I'll give you another clue. The third one, it's a tie. So there's two options. Okay. So, yeah. Oh.
Give us an era, go on. Give us rough decades.
Okay, so, well, the first one spans... eras, I would say, from the 50s up until the 90s.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, maybe Cliff, yeah.
or there's, I think it was 90s that this particular...
They were all over in the 90s and not much else.
I think so. But I get this genre of people. I mean, I know when Take That was, but I get this other genre a bit mixed up because they're very similar to other...
Oh.
Is it boy bands? Is it like Westlife or...
Boyzone.
Yeah, Westlife. Westlife.
So you got it right because you said Cliff Richard. So the answer is one Elvis with 21.
Yeah. Wow.
The Beatles with 17.
Wow.
Or there's Cliff Richard or Westlife who both had 14. So,
wow, that's rhyming.
I mean, Westlife, fair play to you lads.
Yes, well done, Westlife.
Good on yous.
They kind of amalgamated with...
Well, there's an overlap.
Yeah, that's it. But they amalgamated, so that's why...
Louis Walsh!
Yes. So same question, but for number twos.
Oh no, this is much.
So who had the highest number of number two singles? So again, you've got the three options. And I'll give you a clue.
Yeah.
It's a similar scenario where there's one of the answers. It straddles two
iterations of the same kind of band
that have this that or artists or whatever that have the same number.
Ooh,
so
okay,
number two single. This is much more difficult than number ones.
It is, isn't it? Because you obviously you don't necessarily remember them.
I think Amanda's going to have to mime.
Or just give us some clue. Give us something.
Yeah, do a
Movement. For which one would you like the clue for?
Any of them.
I mean, era. You're looking at again. The first answer would be somebody that was very strong in the 80s. All the way through the 90s into the very early 2000s, and then during lockdown did something very strange in their house, which everybody was a bit like, what the hell's going on?
Elton John.
No.
I just loved Elton John. But that is...
Tanya Wilcox.
No, she didn't have that many number ones, I don't think, that straddled. I mean,
Sophie Ellis Bextor. She was sitting in her house in lockdown.
She did, but...
Van Morrison's done some very strange things in lockdown.
Well, I mean, very strange. Let's not...
gosh.
Who's done strange things in that? Joe Wicks.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I don't really know. It'll be so obvious when you say it.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I think you're going to kick yourself, actually, yeah. Lucy.
Can you do more of a mime?
Right, okay.
Madonna!
And she was very strong in the 80s.
If you missed the... And you did not see the...
I bet you could hear it.
The mime that Amanda did, she sort of pointed to her breast and made a conical shape going forward. It looked like she was milking herself, but actually...
We got it.
We understood it was the Jean-Paul Gaultier bra.
Bring back, give us a clue, because I think...
Yeah.
I think I'd do very well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Madonna milked herself.
So the second answer, it straddles two individuals.
Well, we've all done that.
I mean, one of the individuals was an answer in the first question.
Sonia.
I mean, in the... question Kylie. That we just had.
Kylie.
Yes, actually, but she wasn't an answer in...
Stock Aitken and Waterman. It says Stock Aitken.
So Kylie, yes, that you're absolutely right. Kylie had 11 number two... Nice. So Madonna had 12 number two singles.
Yeah.
Kylie had 11, but she shares that crown with somebody who...
Oasis.
Was mentioned in the foot, like, yep. Yeah, so just keep listing the people.
Who else was mentioned in...
Boyzone. He's 17.
Mariah Carey.
Very, very, very big at Christmas. I mean, every year I had to
Slade.
Buy... Mentioned in the first...
Cliff Richard.
Yes.
Oh, Cliff's had all the number twos as well as all the number ones. Greedy.
And the answer to number three was also mentioned in the previous round as well. So I think you'll get this quite easily.
Okay.
First answer is Madonna with 12. The second one is Cliff and Kylie with 11.
Hi.
The third one was mentioned in the first round.
Sonia!
Not in the first round. In the previous round.
Oh,
The Spice Girls. No, they didn't.
There was a correct answer, I should say. A correct answer in the previous round.
Oh. Beatles. Oh. Elvis.
Yes.
Wow.
Elvis with 9.
Wow.
Good for Elvis.
Well done, ladies.
He doesn't know.
But he doesn't care. Well, he does know. He's up there on the moon watching us.
He's not bothered.
Okay, so... What was the very first number one?
Here in My Heart by Al Martino.
Yes.
Hey,
Come on.
That's a proper classic quiz question.
Okay. Who was the first artist to score a number one without releasing a physical copy?
Oh, as in it's downloads only.
Must be, yeah.
Oh,
Taylor Swift.
That makes me feel queasy.
Jive Bunny.
Recording themselves onto a tape.
Yeah, he wouldn't put out even a CD.
I don't think you'll get this if I'm honest.
No.
Because it's Leona Lewis, who is lovely, but you know, but not somebody that would spring to mind.
But
I think,
must have been the X Factor era or something, was it? Or?
Well, it has to be, yeah.
Very good, though. That's a good question.
That's a good one.
And finally, how many different number ones have there been since the chart begun up until April this year? So until April 2021.
April 2021, okay.
So it's been, so that's 65 years of the chart.
So 65 times 52.
Yeah, but it's this.
But then some of them are obviously number ones.
So there's some years that there's been 11 number ones. There's some years that's been basically a different number
one every year. So, but if we take that as a benchmark, so and then I'm going to do, okay, so I'm going to say that in most years, I think that...
200. No, that's not right. That's not right.
So, how many number ones have there been since the chart began up until April 2021?
So, if there's been an average of... Oh, no, that's because I was adding up and not timesing. Now, there we go. Okay, I'm doing a little bit more maths now.
So, you're saying...
I'm going to round it up.
1,950. And Lucy is saying...
It's a very similar figure to what I came up with.
I'm going to say there have been 2,021.
I mean, I think you both did really well, actually. You're not actually that far off when it comes to it, because the answer is 1,367.
Yeah.
So actually you did,
We weren't that.
Brian Adams took up most of that.
I guess, yeah.
And Wet took up most of that when they were both number one for about 4 years.
I mean, also added to that was the way that I worked it out was that I basically thought, I can't do maths, I'm going to say the year that it is now.
I mean, so, that's fair enough.
You know, that also,
I mean, that would have been a very neat answer if that was it.
Exactly.
That's not your fault, that's the chart's fault.
Exactly.
That's the record-buying population's fault.
If the universe worked properly, it would be 2021. But anyway, well done. That was a great quiz. Thank you.
That was some deep hot cuts.
And it just shows you don't have to put your name to a quiz. If you just want to write in and humiliate me, you can do that completely anonymously.
Well, what a lovely episode that was, Jen. And I just want to reiterate my congratulations for your Pop Master victory.
Thank you. It was a pop heavy episode, and I don't think I really shone in the later quiz by Mr. or Mrs. or Anonymous.
The anonymous person. Thank you very much for that.
Pop stuff. That's good, though. I like a bit of chart fact.
It was great, and actually I really enjoyed talking to Gavin and also learning facts about Rubik's Cubes.
Yeah, well, as if you didn't already know them.
Well, I know. I mean, I looked them up, so I did know, but it's been a pleasure for us. I hope, dear listeners, you have enjoyed listening and you will join us again on...
Fingers on Buzzers.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.